Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering what happened. From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
The events in the following episode took place in mid-March 2018, 2 weeks after Adeya Shibani went missing.
Early in Ted Bundy's serial killing spree, police released the details that they knew about the suspect so far. They showed a sketch of him, they said his name was Ted, and they said he drove a light brown Volkswagen Beetle. So naturally, several people who knew Bundy, including his girlfriend at the time, told police the person they were looking for was likely Ted Bundy. Despite at least four different tips coming in, the police never investigated him. He went on to abduct and kill at least a dozen more victims before he was ever brought to justice. So why wasn't this very credible tip or string of tips ever investigated? The reason is that it was buried amongst hundreds of other tips flooding into the police department from everyone from crackpots to psychics to well-meaning do-gooders. Tragically, this is a very common occurrence. A crucial tip that will break a case early on is just completely ignored. That's why, when Jaden told me the first credible tip had come in for the Adeya Shibani disappearance, I thought that this could be our Ted Bundy moment.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What if your partner developed 21 new identities? Or you discovered that your friend who helped you through the darkest times was actually a conniving con artist? Or what if you began seeing demons everywhere, inhabiting people around you, including your son? What would you do? I'm Whit Misseldine, the creator of This Is Actually Happening, a podcast that brings you extraordinary true stories of life-changing events told by the people who lived them. In our newest season, you'll hear even more intimate first-person accounts of how regular people have overcome remarkable circumstances, like the man who went to jail for 17 years for accidentally shooting the person who tried to save his life, to a close friend of the infamous scam artist, Amanda Riley. These haunting accounts sound like Hollywood movies, but I assure you, this is actually happening. Follow This Is Actually Happening on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can listen to This Is Actually Happening ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Chapter 3, Red Candles.
Just wanted to give you an update. Just got a call from Angel. He got a call from a guy, anonymous, didn't leave a name, saying that he saw Adea and she was being put into the bed of a pickup truck out in front of her apartment. And then the truck took off and drove southbound toward Hollywood Boulevard. He gives us a description of the truck and he even has the plate number. We ran the plate. It's Adea's on again, off again boyfriend.
His name, Jaden tells me, is Chris Spotts.
I mean, he's another acting student, and now he's out of work actor.
You still have my money. I want the procedure. I've seen all I need to see, heard all I need to hear.
Apparently, Chris is a senior student at the Stella Adler Academy of Acting, and Adea was dating him in secret. His name doesn't appear in the press about the case, and it's nowhere on Adea's Instagram or social media. Obviously, it's essential to know just who this guy is, why his relationship with Adea has been kept a secret, and more importantly, where he is. I check in with Angel, Adea's boss at the Mobile Hookah Lounge, who received the original tip.
I mean, tell me about the anonymous call for a second.
Yeah, I get an anonymous call. It was a private number. The guy says that, he saw what fit the description perfectly of Chris throwing her into his truck. And he said into the bed of the truck. And he described the truck, which later turned out to be Chris's truck. He also gave us the license plate, which again later turned out to be Chris's truck. And he said that she looked a little dizzy or dazed or as if she's been drugged.
Angel tells me that he already informed the police about the anonymous call and sent them to Chris's address.
And I called the cops immediately and I said, I just got an anonymous tip. This is what it was. This is the address that I have on file for this guy. Maybe she's held up there, or we believe that she's held up there. And it was in Studio City. The cops, I think it was like 2 minutes or something like that. And they were on it. They responded and they were there, and it was like maybe 6 or 7 cop cars that came out. They went up to the building. And so we were waiting downstairs. So you can imagine just the emotions that were running through our head. We thought we felt like we got it. It's just a matter of time of the cops coming down with him in handcuffs and her, coming down with her walking down, I remember even we heard like a wrestle and like somebody was shouting or yelling, and it, all of us, of course, our hearts dropped. But at that point, we figured out it was just people in the parking lot. And the cops came down and they said, this is not where he lives. There's an Asian couple that lives here.
Angel goes on to tell me that he's going to track down more possible addresses for Chris. Meanwhile, Jaden's gone ahead and put out an alert on Chris's license plate number. In case you didn't know, your license plate is basically being read and recorded on a regular basis. And police, private investigators, and way too many other professionals can find out exactly where your car has been for as far back as you can possibly imagine. So while Jaden tracks down Chris, I investigate this guy further. To start with, I speak to one of Adea's closest friends from acting school and supposedly the last person to have spoken with Adea, Christian. Note that although the names are very similar, Christian is obviously a very different person than Chris Spotts, Adea's boyfriend.
I guess the first thing is how far back do you and Adea go?
I've met her on October of 2016, uh-huh, when we started school. We go to the same school. So basically, she became my family here.
Yeah. Was Chris there then or no?
Chris,
at the acting school?
In the acting school, he was a student before. Like, he had graduated before we started, I think. I'm not sure about his timeline there. And I didn't meet him until we did a class together. There was Shakespeare. That's where they worked together for the first time and where everything started. she started feeling like, oh my God, this guy is interesting. He's so knowledgeable. He's a good actor. I never saw anything of that in him. I don't know. I like people that's transparent. And I hanged out with him a few times. I talked to him. Everything's fine. He's nice. But then he was engaged. Obviously, me, I did not agree at all with the circumstance. Like, I'm like, you're crazy. How can you trust somebody that's engaged, even though whatever they're telling? She said it, like, you know how I like drama. And I'm like, yeah, but it's too dramatic. It's too much. I don't even know if she really was telling me the truth, because the last time on Tuesday when we talked, I told her, stop telling me things. You know, I get very attached and I adore you and I don't want anything to go wrong, but you're not listening to me, so I'm done. I'm done.
Emma, Adea's old friend from Macedonia who you met in episode one, had more secrets and more recent information to share about Adea's relationship with Chris.
So she told me that there is a guy from a school named Chris that is it's supposed to be her partner in a scene. And they start, you know, practicing and exercising the scene before they went to the performance. They just started seeing each other, and then she figured it out that he has a fiance. She's telling me, oh, he's gonna leave Mary. Mary is the name of the fiance. He's gonna leave Mary and go and came with me, and you know, we're gonna start something. I even know that he proposed her hand, and they applied for a two-bedroom apartment. So
you said he proposed to her?
Yes.
When was that?
December.
Wow.
She was wild. She was in Macedonia, then she came back, and she was ignoring him. She didn't want to continue in this game. So she just called me and told me, Em, I have to tell you something. I'm very happy, but I don't know how to tell you. I'm like, tell me. And she said, he proposed me. And he said, the only way we can be together is to get married, and we have to move together.
Speaking with Emma, it's clear why this relationship has been kept secret. Not only does Chris have a fiance named Mary who's also in LA, but he had recently proposed to Adea. So he's living with one fiance and cheating on her with Adea, who he has also promised to move in with. Clearly, this guy has gotten himself into a serious bind. One of the last times Christian spoke to Adea, she invited Adea to go to Mexico with her. This trip was for the very same weekend that Adea went missing. Maybe if Adea had actually taken this trip, we wouldn't be looking for her today.
And then I invited her to Mexico. And on Friday morning, I texted her, are you coming with me to Mexico? I'm leaving. And I was like, okay. And then she's like, no, I fell asleep. And I asked, are you okay? Did you fix things with Chris? And she said, yeah. When the fiancé is not in the picture, we're all lovey-dovey. Like, yeah, everything's fine. Oh, okay, that's perfect. But we were here, and she told me, I might go to Sacramento. And I'm like, with why? Like, you know, because I thought everything was going to, what's done. Yeah, if everything works out, I might go with him to the funeral. And I even remember thinking, like, this woman, man, she's crazy, you know?
And she did say Sacramento.
She did say, I knew that she had to go to Sacramento, and she did mention that she was going to go probably to the funeral of his uncle.
So that appears to solve one mystery, Adea's last text asking where she can get red candles. Adea may have wanted them for the funeral of Chris's uncle in Sacramento. What's strange, though, is that this is the first time anyone's mentioned that Adea had any plans for the weekend. It's also the first time I've heard about Sacramento and this funeral. And as far as I know, no one's been searching for Adea outside of Southern California or even looking into this. It feels like so much about Adea is either being hidden for some reason or just not looked into, that it's hurting the search for her.
They hit the sidewalk this evening here in Hollywood, getting the word out about Adea Shivani.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. Like, I just want to find her.
The 25-year-old actress left her apartment here at the Duet on Wilcox in Hollywood, and no one has seen her since, which is out of character.
This is not her.
something is going on with her. We don't know where she is. It's just so sad. We just hoping she's alive.
Shabani, who is a frequent user of social media, has been off the grid.
We try calling her, messaging her, emailing her, Facebooking her, Instagramming her, every way.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And the last text on that day that she disappeared, it had to deal with red candles. Not a hint at all that she might be in trouble.
Again, Adea's friend, Christian.
When she didn't come to school, for me, it was like, nah, something is really, really, really wrong. I was very nervous, and I never thought it would come this far, this long time, and I don't know.
I don't know if it was you or not, somebody had called Chris afterward. It wasn't you, was it?
I texted him on Sunday.
Okay, and what was the response?
He responded, do you want me to read them exactly like they were? So I texted him, hi Chris, just like that, on his WhatsApp and on Facebook. And he answered, 1 hour after. Hey, Christian, I spoke to Marco briefly as I was on my way to church. I haven't spoke with Adea since Friday morning. And then I said, oh my God, Chris, we can't find her anywhere. I'm so scared. What was the last thing she told you or at what time you spoke with her? We are going to the police, her mom told me, because they are all very worried and no one has any information since Friday. Please, please, if she contacts you anyway, let me know. We are all freaking out. This is not normal of Adea. And then 1 hour after, I just talked with Emma. I can't believe no one has saw her. We fought on Friday. The last thing she told me was that I would never see her again.
Chapter 4, Follow the Lie.
We ping the boyfriend's phone and the boyfriend's fiance's phone, what we think are the phones. He has a truck. She's got like a little SUV, the other girlfriend or the fiance. So I put an alert on them for both of those cars for the plate readers. And we actually got a hit on hers. So we went and it was like in a parking lot of a hotel. You know, and they had to back checked in there. And so we got a bunch of surveillance video from them there. And again, just acting so weird, like coming in and then he would leave in one car and then he would go back and he would leave in another car.
So I guess my main question is, considering that this guy was the last person seen with her and he's like behaving super suspiciously, why are they not arresting him or taking him in for questioning?
I mean, that's a good question. He checked into the hotel. He was right there. We were on him. LAPD is working it, but they told us to lay off him. Yeah, I mean, we could have either put surveillance on him right there. We could have talked to him, whatever, but they kind of said, hey, you know, leave him alone. You know me, at this point, I'm like trying to, you know, I'm trying to help.
Though the police told Jaden they had everything handled, Angel had no intention of stopping his pursuit of Chris. Since I'd last spoken to Angel, he'd actually doubled his efforts to find Chris.
So yeah, all of my staff were on it. Everybody was researching and doing whatever they can do. I mean, we were trying to find hackers. We were trying to get us something that we can find this girl. We found out his third possible location. It's not like any of us know what to do in this case scenario. You know, we were jumping in, you know, over fences. We were, you know, going through
whatever
garages or whatever it is just to kind of search the garage. And which at that point we had found out about Chris's fiance, which was a nurse. Right away, I started suspecting that the nurse probably has something to do with it. She has access to medication. She knows what to give someone if they were gonna, you know, put them into like a induced coma. She would know what to do.
This is a really disturbing theory, implicating Chris Spotts and now his fiance. And it all hinges on this one tip. There's a lot I need to follow up on right now. I have to find out exactly where this funeral in Sacramento took place and if Chris and Adea were actually there. And I also need to get prepared to reach out directly to Chris. But the first thing I need to do right now is what I criticized police for not doing in the Ted Bundy situation. I'm going to look deeper into this very incriminating tip, but I'm also going to try to find the actual tipster and get the full story for myself firsthand.
Based on my conversation with Angel and just kind of limited knowledge of that situation over there at the apartment, I have kind of an idea of who it might be.
Eventually, Jaden gives me the name and the address of the person who he believes left the tip, but under strictest confidentiality and the promise not to use his name or reveal his identity. An hour later, I'm outside the apartment building where the tipster lives, sitting in my car and waiting for him to come outside.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey guys, is one of you by the way?
That's him.
Oh, cool, hey.
Right there.
Oh, hey man.
Hey.
I'm doing a podcast about the Adea, the girl who went missing.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know you would call in a tip, but I just wanted to kind of verify it for the story if you had a second, if that's okay. I don't need to use your name, by the way. Is that okay? I know you didn't want to be named, if that's okay. This is Alex, who works with me.
I don't know if I was possibly the last one that maybe seen her leave, but yeah.
He seems very nervous to speak. So I reassure him, and he says he'll be back in 20 minutes. I assume that he's just given me a line and he's not going to come back at all. But eventually he returns and he pulls me into a parking garage. As he looks around nervously, he talks about everything he saw. I'll try to repeat everything he says so you won't hear his voice much here. But it's very surprising.
Well, she gets in the truck, and all you know is you see them leaving. She's in the bed of the truck, and it looks not like she's messed up or on drugs. She's scared. She's scared of someone else who's not in the truck, and she's hiding, like she's sneaking out, so she's not seen.
Right.
I'll tell you the story that they told me. The story they told me was that you had seen her drugged, getting forced into a car. And then you wrote down the license plate number. So you never wrote down a license plate number.
No.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable that even the private investigator told me the story I just told you.
I'm going to quote exactly what the tipster says next. Within 2 hours, he continues, the hookah people were out here in front looking for her, saying that she went missing and they wanted to get into her apartment. When I would replay it back in my head, her, the way she looked, like she was scared looking for something, it was as if she was trying to get away from the hookah people. By the hookah people, he actually means Angel. After that, he continues, I never wanted to associate with the Armenian Shug Knight, because that's what we used to call him. Because to me, he just weirded me out.
So I met with he like pulled me aside and we talked for about like a good half hour.
Really?
His story was very different than what you and Angel had told me. Basically, what he said was he saw her exiting the building in the back of the truck, but not like drugged or pushed into there. She was leaving the parking garage in the truck as if she was hiding from someone else. Then he said 2 hours later, the hookah guy, as he put it, this guy showed up saying Adea's is missing and we need her computer.
Kind of weird.
Very weird. Well, he's scared of Angel. He calls him like the Armenian Shug Knight. He's like, I avoid that guy. I avoided that guy every time I could. He's like very scary to this
guy. The Armenian Shug Knight.
Yeah.
I like that. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I've always, you know, for better or worse, I've always thought that Angel was weird, but that's obviously, you know, very weird.
There's a simple tactic I've learned from years of reporting. Follow the lie. And so far, Angel is the only person who's apparently lied to me. What's even stranger is that Adea's computer in her apartment was used after she disappeared. And who was it that was trying to get into her apartment to access that computer? Angel. Coming up on the next episode of To Live and Die in L.A.
Clear your name with me. Forget the police. Convince me that you had nothing to do with it. And I'll go back to the family if that's truly what you're worried about. How do you think it looks? I'm here so that you can convince me, so that I can tell them this guy didn't have anything to do with it. Because you look like a nice guy, you're just a regular guy. Yeah, going around killing people.
To Live and Die in L.A. has been a production of Tenderfoot TV and me, Neil Strauss, in conjunction with Cadence 13. The executive producers of this podcast are myself, Donald Albright, and Payne Lindsay, along with producers Alex Vespested and Mike Rooney. Because this is an open case, anything you know about Adeya Shabani or anyone mentioned in this podcast, we want to know. Please email us at livedieLA@tenderfoot.tv or call us at 213-204-2073. The music and score that you've heard in this podcast is by Makeup and Vanity Set. Our theme song is Love and War by Flurry, and our show art and design are by Trevor Eiler. You can follow us on social media at livedieLAPod. Or you can find our website with bonus content at livedieLA.com. I want to extend a special thanks to Brian Fishback, to Rich Berner, Kevin Richter, Station 16, Oren Rosenbaum at UTA, Eric Lin at Shangri-La, and the Nord Group. It helps a lot when you subscribe, rate, and review the podcasts that you enjoy and listen to. Our hope is to expose these stories so the missing can be found and so the perpetrators can be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Thank you for listening and for your support.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental, the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.